Well, please turn with me this evening to Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 1. Isaiah 55, verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Well, my topic for this evening is very simply, friends, ho. The first word in this verse, ho, is a call to attention. It's a call used to draw the attention of the people, to catch their attention, to get them to stop what they're doing and to perhaps turn around. Who is this who is calling me? Who is this who is drawing my attention? Who is this who is saying, ho? What's he got to say? What's he got to say? Why is he wanting my time? Why is he wanting my attention? This is the word, this is what it means. Of course, it would have been proclaimed loudly. It would have been proclaimed vociferously so that everyone within that area where it was being proclaimed could hear it. All who are in hearing distance would pick it up and would get their attention. It was to go out to all the people. Ho, listen, listen, I've got something to say to you. It was meant to stop people in their tracks and to get them to ask, why? Why should I listen? What important thing have you got to say to me? Why should I give you my time? Well, friends, ho, these are the words of God himself. God is the one who is here speaking these words. Ho, if you look through the next few verses, it becomes very clear. These are the words of the Lord God Almighty. God himself is calling out to men and women in this world. God is calling to you who are here today. God is proclaiming. God is preaching. This is a sermon that God is preaching. Ho! Everyone, come. This is the message. Like the town crier, well, you know about him. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye, is his words. He wants to gather everyone's attention. Or that Roman, friends, Romans, countrymen, give me your ear. Well, people will listen. Something important is going to be declared. So it's here. The Almighty, the Eternal, the Infinite God, the one who has no beginning and no end, the one who is outside of time, the one who in a sense is transcendent, he is the one who is communicating and speaking to us here, crying, ho! Men, women, boys, girls, everyone who is in this world, ho! Listen to me. Give me your ear. I have something crucial to say to you. I have something vital to say to you. I have something marvelous to say to you. I'm going to tell you about a marvelous invitation that I'm offering to you. That's what's being said here. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Well, friends, how does God speak to us? We know we do not hear today his audible voice, but God speaks to us in other ways. God speaks to us through preachers. God speaks to us through the sermons that we hear. God speaks to us through Christian friends who will tell us about the Savior and tell us about our need to turn to him. That's God is using people to speak to us and to call us to take attention, pay attention to himself. God speaks to us sometimes even through Bible texts. Through Bible texts, God is saying to people, ho, you may read it in your personal time. Perhaps you're reading the Bible, or you may come across it somewhere on the tube, or you may come across it in some other way. Only this last week, we heard about a lady, and she grew up in a Christian environment. But as she got older, she went away from the things of God. And for many years, she had left these things. But as she grew older, she began to think to herself, well, it's time for me to get back to the Lord. I need to return to the Lord. And so she began to seek the Lord. But she did it very half-heartedly. She didn't really put her whole heart into it until one day she was passing a church and she saw the church poster outside with a Bible text. And these were the words, "You shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart," from Jeremiah 29 and verse 13. That was the Lord saying to her, "Oh, I'm speaking to you. Don't seek me with just in a half-hearted way. Seek me with all your heart." This is often how the Lord gets our attention, friends. But the call here is to everyone that is thirsty. Ho, everyone that is thirsty, come ye to the waters. Well, the picture that is before us in this verse is rather for people who are in great need. And they don't have sufficient commodities of life, perhaps even to survive. But a ship comes in to the harbor, and the ship has come from a foreign land. It's come into the port, and it's laden with goods from the foreign land. And the message goes out as that ship is in port, come buy and eat of the goods and the products that I've brought with me. Come and take for yourself. Come and help yourself to these things. And it's all for free. It's all for free. You don't have to pay a penny. Even if you are penniless, you can come. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Or rather, the initial part, he that hath no money. There's no restriction. If you cannot afford it, it doesn't matter, because there's no price tag on these. They're all free. All the items is for you. Come, help yourself, indulge yourself in these things. There is more than enough for everyone to have. Come. Again and again, the message is given out to them to encourage people to come. Well, my friend, Christ has come from a foreign land. Christ has come from heaven, and he has not come empty-handed. He has come laden with gifts for undeserving sinners, for people who cannot pay him anything. He comes and he's able, bearing precious gifts, gifts that you cannot find in this world, gifts that the world cannot give to you, gifts that only Christ can give to you. And he lays, as it were, all his gifts out on his stall, and he invites all, come, take of these things. They're free, they're for you. Come and help yourself. Come and indulge yourself in that. There's enough for everyone. Don't be hindered from coming. There's pardon for all your sins. There's a peace that I can give you that you cannot find in the world, a peace that the world cannot take from you. There's reconciliation with God, which I will make for sinners as I die through my death on the cross. There's a righteousness. You don't have these things. You don't have a perfect righteousness you can present to God. But here, I give you my righteousness. I'm giving to you for free the help of God in life, the friendship of God, the presence of God to cheer you and to guide you, to have him as your personal friend throughout life, every day to be able to resort to him, to know his help day by day. These are all on the table, friends. And happiness. Oh, we are all, isn't it? We just want to be happy. What do you want in life? I just want to be happy, people say. Well, if you're in contact with God, then you will be happy. If you're out of contact with God, you'll never truly be happy, as we'll suggest in a minute. But there's real satisfying contentment, happiness found in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what he comes. This is what he offers. This is what he wants you to pay attention to. This is what he wants to be yours, and it's all free. It's all of grace. He gives it to you freely. Not so long ago, we had a room to let in our house, and we advertised the room online. It's only a small dingy room, really. The smallest room in our house, smallest bedroom. And I put the advert online. And within a couple of hours, I had a stream of people who were wanting to come and see it. A very long list of people, very keen. What an overwhelming response it was. I was taken aback. I just put it online, and already I'm getting the phone calls, and I'm getting text messages coming through. I want to come and see it. Some of them, they said, we don't even want to, I don't want to come in person to see it. I'll just show it to me online. And another person said, I want it. I want the room. I'll pay up front. They haven't even seen the place, and they're off putting down money. Well, I should say that one of the main reasons was because we didn't ask for the market price for the room, but we put it at a lower rate, and it was fairly cheap, a lot cheaper than what was going for rooms, equivalent rooms in other places. So people were very keen. We even had one lady from China, and she said, I want to come. I said, I'm landing at the airport on this day, on Wednesday, and I'm coming straight from the airport to your house. I want the place. I want to see the place. Okay, come. All of them could come. But what a response for a dingy little room, for a dingy little place that was really just nothing more than a box, really. But here, this is an invitation, friends, a million times better than a room offer. And yet we wonder, where's the queue? Where's the interest? Why are you not taking up this offer? Why are you not lining up? Why are you not putting yourself on the line? Why are you not desperate to have this offer? Why are you not worried to lose out? In Singapore, they have a phrase, kiasu, they call it, kiasu, which means afraid to lose. You're afraid to lose out on something. Why are people not kiasu about the things of God? Afraid to lose out on this offer that is coming. I can take it or leave it. Indifferent towards it. Oh. Indifferent towards not willing to show any interest. So few show any interest. Even though it's repeated, not only once, it comes again. It's as if the Lord is advertising to you again and again. It's brought before your very eyes and before your ears so that you can hear about this marvelous gospel and this marvelous Savior and what He can do for you. And still people put it off. Why are people so sleepy? Why are people so indifferent? Why are people so apathetic to this offer? It shouldn't be, friends. Shouldn't be. Because this is the most marvelous offer that ever that could be presented to us. The offer of reconciliation with God. But look, ho everyone, it says. Ho everyone that thirsteth. That includes you. That includes you here. Yeah. Oh, don't look around you and say that it's for that person or the other person or that person in front of me. It's for you. This one also is for you. Say not, it's for other persons, but not for me. This is not for me. Perhaps you do it out of some measure of feeling unworthy. As for that person is more worthy of it than me. Don't speak like that, friends. Don't say that in your heart. Because God means it when He says it and He offers it to you as an individual. This is a sincere call. It's for you, it's for everyone. I was talking yesterday to a man, and I gave him a gospel tract. And initially he said, I believe in the Big Bang. Okay, I told him some things about the Big Bang, how it's so inconsistent. And then he said, I believe in history. So I said, the Bible's a book of history, and we have dates and places, you can see. And then I think I got to the crux of the real matter with him, because he said, actually, I'm addicted to drugs and drink, I don't think the Lord is for me. And he said it in a very, feeling that, will the Lord receive me? Will the Lord here be one for me? And I told him, because so many people don't realize this still, the Lord Jesus is the friend of sinners. He came to save sinners, call sinners to repentance. He came not to call the righteous. I said to him, he's come for you. He's come for people like you. If you will just turn to him, he'll believe in him. This is for you. Well, friends, he is for everyone. There's no real criteria with this offer. You know, if you're a student and you're starting university, you need to apply for a grant. But there's criteria first. You must fulfill that criteria before a grant will be given to you. Or if you're applying for universal credit, it's not the government won't give it to everyone. It's not a carte blanche for each and every person who applies. No, you have to fulfill the criteria. And you cannot, it's not for each and every person, but this is for everyone. This is an offer that you can say, it's for me. It really is for me. Oh, friends, on the day of judgment, you won't be able to say, no one will be able to say to God, I didn't know about salvation. Or I knew about it, but I didn't realize it was for me. No one will be able to say that. Because in this gospel invitation, it goes out to everyone. And again, the Lord said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, it says, ho, everyone that thirsteth. And that also is all of us. All of us, man and women, mankind, we are thirsty creatures. We are people who really are a mixture, a bundle of need and desires. Each one of us have these things within ourselves, deep needs, deep desires that are longing to be satisfied, longing to be fulfilled. But the trouble is we cannot find fulfillment just by looking within. We must look outside of ourselves to fulfill those desires, to fulfill those needs. We need love. We need friendship. And we have to look outside to other human beings to find that love and to find that friendship, to find some measure of satisfaction for that desire that is in our hearts. We need somebody to come alongside us and encourage us in life. We need somebody to hold our hands through life. That's so much what we need. We need somebody that we can lean upon. We thirst in life for acceptance in the world. We thirst in life for knowledge. And if we don't have these things, well, we're restless, isn't it, in our souls? We're not content because we want these things, but we don't have them. And so we strive for them. We're thirsty people. I heard of a rather ridiculous story, ridiculous woman, I should say, because this woman, to satisfy her need for love, married herself. She married herself. Yes, you heard me right. She felt that in order to love somebody else, she must first learn to love herself. Well, how can you do that? How can your love satisfy your love? We're not made like that. We need some satisfaction from outside, some object, some person, some knowledge from outside ourselves, to whether it's to satisfy our intellectual need or our emotional and social needs. It must come from outside of ourselves. That's how we are. That's how we're made, isn't it? But friends, there is one longing. There's one desire in our hearts that really supersedes them all. There's one desire that should be in our hearts, but sadly often it's not. And that's the desire for God. The desire and longing for God, sadly, is not in many people's hearts. A yearning for a relationship with God, a yearning for Him. As the psalmist said, my soul thirsteth for the living God. Well, he could say that, but can you? Can you say that? My soul thirsteth for God. The trouble with man, he doesn't wish for forgiveness. He doesn't feel his need for forgiveness. He doesn't long for holiness. We don't wish to have a contact with the living God. And so, friends, we will always be restless because we were made for God. We will always have a hole in our hearts until we return to God and find in him, not in ourselves, but not even in others, but until we return to him and find our satisfaction and rest in him, then we will find true contentment in our lives. Then our thirst will be satisfied. Oh, you can ask any true believer, and they will tell you this, that their contentment and the rest came when they came to know the Lord. Till we begin to thirst for God, to seek him and to find him, friends, we will always be restless. We will always be going and hankering after the things of this world. We will think, perhaps if I have all the more material possessions, then I will be happy. Oh, I have a relationship, a happy relationship, a family, then I will be happy. Oh, but it never, we have perhaps these things, but it never satisfies us truly, because you and I, we were made for God. We were made to know him. Notice also in this one verse, three times how kind the Lord is. Three times in one sentence, that gentle word, come, is repeated. That's the gospel word, friends. Come, this is God extending his arms, Christ extending his arms to us. Come, 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 he says. There is no harshness in that word. It's a very friendly tone. It's a very welcoming tone. It's an invitation to come to him. Sometimes people, maybe often, people say to us, oh, come round to our house. Come round and see me. They don't mean it, though. It's just said in passing, but this is something that God means. He is sincere. When he says come, he really wants you to come. Don't put God in that group of insincere friends. Let nothing hinder you from coming. Come again and again. We're going to sing later that hymn, and let me just read to you some of the words from it. Come, ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore, Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, joined with power, he is able, he is willing, doubt no more. And again, come ye needy, come and welcome, God's free bounty glorify, without money, come to Jesus Christ and buy. And again, come, ye weary, heavy laden, bruised and ruined by the fall. If you wait until you're better, you will never come at all, not the righteous. Jesus came to call. So again and again, this is the message of the Lord. Come to him while you have a chance, while you have an opportunity. Well, friends, come, it goes on to say, come ye buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wine, oh, that gladdens people's hearts. And milk, that nourishes people's bodies. But here, we could think of these things not as physical commodities, but as gifts from God. In fact, we can reduce it to just one gift from the Lord. One gift, if you have this one gift, you will find gladness, you will find nourishment, you will find satisfaction for your soul. If you have this one gift, your thirst will be quenched. What is that one gift? What is that one gift above all gifts? Well, it's the gift of Christ himself, the person of Christ. This is the one gift that we must have. Oh, friends, if you have Christ, if you have Christ in your heart, in your life, you will have all that you need for life. You will want nothing more, really. You will want nothing more. The deepest desires, the deepest needs of men are met only in the Savior. That's what the Lord was telling that woman that we read of in John chapter 4. He said, do you remember the words? Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And that's what he offered to that woman, and that's what he offers to us. If you knew the gift of God, you would ask of him also, Lord, give me this life. Give me this water. Give me this relationship with you. If you have Christ, you have reconciliation with God. God will be at peace with you. If you have Christ, you will have happiness because he will make you happy. If you have Christ, you will have love. If you have Christ, you will have a companion for life in him, somebody who will be there for you, somebody who will hold your hand all the way through life. If you have Christ, you'll have hope, you will have security, and so much more. I could go on and on and on to say, but it's all in one person, in Christ. Oh, friends, come and take of him. But then finally, my last point, how is this offer to be made mine? How is it to be made mine? Well, you have to buy it, we are told. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. But you said it's free. Now you're saying buy? You said it's free. Why are you saying, why is it saying buy here? Well, friends, buy is suggesting a transaction. But this is a transaction that you don't pay for it. You cannot earn it, but it's just the idea of a transaction, something that must take place between you and the Lord. In order to have these blessings from God, in order to have salvation, one must have a personal dealing with the Lord, a personal transaction. So we come before him and we have this personal dealing with him. Christ is freely offered to us. Salvation is extended to us. Heaven is included. But to have these blessings, well, what is the transaction? I must turn from my sins. I must repent of sincerely as best as I can. I must be done with my sins and say, Lord, no more am I going to go down this route of living in rebellion and disobedience to you. I'm done with that kind of living. I'm done with my unbelief. I do not want to live in that kind of a way anymore. I repent. I turn from that kind of life to you, Lord. And now, Lord, I trust in Christ. I see that he came. I see he died on Calvary to take the sins of all who would believe in him. Lord, I trust in him. I believe he has done that for me. That's what you say to him. And then you say one more thing. Lord, my life is yours. My life is yours from now on. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Be my guide through life. I'm no longer going to go my own way. Lord, I'm done with my own life. And my own will, not my will be done, but your will be done. That's the transaction that must transpire between you and God if you would have these great blessings. Oh, friends, this is the invitation. What a marvelous thing. Isn't that easy for you to do? To give up these things in order to have such a blessing? To give up your sins in order that you may have salvation and heaven and Christ. But I close with verse 2. Wherefore do ye spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me. Eat ye that which is good. Let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your soul and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. Not only hear and approve of it, but make it your own. Take it. That's the word and the message. Hear and receive it to yourself. Oh, friends, may the Lord enable you, even tonight, if you've never done that before. Do it tonight, do it now, or do it when you get home. And in the quiet of your room, you can pray to the Lord and ask him to save you and have that personal transaction with him, and he will bless you more than you can ever imagine. Let's pray together. Almighty God, our ever gracious and kind Heavenly Father, how we thank you for this marvelous and free invitation that comes our way even from you. Oh Lord, help us, we pray, to receive this unsearchable gift of Christ. Oh Lord, this precious gift, and to find in him all that we need for life in this world and the next. Already as we pray, even for that day of judgment, that we may be found even in Christ upon that day, and having a righteousness not of our own, but a righteousness that has been imparted to us, that righteousness of Christ. Lord, bless us here, each one. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, let's close by singing the hymn number 355. Come ye sinners, poor and needy. 355.